everybody, and welcome back to the Football Absurdity Podcast. My name is Jeff Crisco, here with my co-host, Big Daddy Ranks. It's Walker Kelly. We've been gone for 2 weeks, but the NFL said, you know what doesn't matter anymore? COVID. So there's no more worrying about that.
Yeah, we're going in raw on COVID now. It's we threw away the protection. We're raw dogging COVID now.
That's right. Yeah. So we haven't been doing rank shows the last couple of weeks because, frankly, the NFL schedule didn't allow for it. So we got a normal schedule this week. No Thursday night football, which probably a good news for all the people who just if you just after 5 days, you have better vibes, you're off the COVID IR. Like, that's pretty much all it is now.
Yeah, like, pretty much. Yeah, Gabe Davis was ruled out for week 17. And then like today, all of a sudden it was like, oh, actually, it's fine. He can play.
Yeah, and it's so funny because they were talking like, you just have to like have shown an improvement in your symptoms. It's like, what does that even mean? Like, you used to not be able to run, and now you can run. Get out there, go, go play football.
Yeah, it's basically just like, hey, as long as you're not like actively coughing on people, then just wait 5 days and you're back.
Pretty much, yeah. It's I was listening to CBS today, and Dave Richard had a good point. He's like, look, I don't want to talk about COVID players anymore middle of the week because it's like, you know, saying there's a snowstorm coming on Sunday may or may not hit the game. It's wasting people's time to talk about COVID players in the middle of the week now.
Yeah.
Guys that get ruled out on Thursday and Friday. Yes, we should talk about them. But guys who go on the IR on like Monday, it's just like a free vacation for them now.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. So this is the, I guess, Thursday now, because this comes out on Thursday, ranking episode of the Football Absurdity Podcast. You can check out Walker's ranks at footballabsurdity.com. Button at the top says weekly ranks. They are all in there. And this is the last edition for the season. You are on your own for week 18.
Don't play week 18.
Yeah. This
is not doing that.
I love that it's consensus on the site that literally everybody, Evan, Waleed, me, you, Mike, Herms, everybody is Kevin. Like, Kevin, everybody's like, just don't do week 7, like, don't do week 18. It's like, do you want to come to us for advice? Too bad. We're not going to coddle you. Like,
early vacation. We're out of here.
Yeah, we're out of here. Yeah, so I wrote my last articles for week for the 2021 season. On Monday, I start writing my what to remember from 2021. So that's always a fun thing for me to go back and look at, like, hey, this guy got hurt here. Don't forget that, or you know, this, that, and the other. The only time it's ever really steered me wrong was I was like, Baker Mayfield was pretty good other than the monsoon game. So I was pretty high on Baker Mayfield, and then he is bad at football. So
yeah, he just had a weird like 6-game stretch where everything went right for some reason. And
yeah.
Then he just went back to being Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. And watch, I'm going to find some split that's going to be like, look, this is before the labrum injury. This is after the labrum injury. I'm kind of feeling good about Baker Mayfield. If I say that, just reminded me that I told you to tell me to stop it.
Yeah. I'm feeling good about Baker Mayfield, the man who 15 weeks into the season has not been a QB1 one time.
Hey, you know what? Do you know how you finished the season being QB1 twice? By not being a QB1 the first 15 weeks, baby. Let's go, Baker.
If Baker's like QB3 over the last 2 weeks of the fantasy season, I'm gonna be so mad.
League winner, Baker Mayfield.
Oh god.
Man. All right. So usually on this one we go into Thursday night football. No Thursday night football this week. So we'll get right into Walker's ranks. Not gonna read them off for you, but let's start with who is your hardest rank at quarterback this week?
It was really tough to put both Lamar Jackson and Kyler Murray outside the top six in championship week. But Kyler simply hasn't looked good since A, he got hurt, and B, DeAndre Hopkins was ruled out for the rest of the regular season, or rest of the season in general. He just has been bad. There's no two ways about it. He's had a rough time. He makes some plays with his legs still. He's still fairly accurate underneath, but just the offense simply isn't as dynamic as it was. you know, he'll pop up with beautiful throws like he did against Indy to Antoine Wesley in the corner of the end zone. But then you look at the overall performance and it's like, oh, Kyler was kind of pedestrian again. Mm-hmm. And this is just how it's been for a month. Lamar just has kind of not looked right all season. They've tried to hem him into the pocket a little bit more, which doesn't make sense because that's not who he is. They need to just let Lamar be Lamar, and yeah, they kind of haven't been doing that. So that's, I think, a big part of why he's struggled. It's just, you're not going to be able to make this guy a pocket passer. He's right-handed Michael Vick. This is who he is. You just let him run around and do crazy stuff, and he's going to be really good. But they're not really doing that, and he's banged up. So I think if you've got him and he plays, you got to start him. But it's not a great matchup. It hasn't been a great situation for Lamar. He's not going to be able to run as much as he usually does because of the ankle injury. So he's still a start, but he's a riskier start than you would imagine.
Yeah, and since he re-entered the discourse today, Colin Kaepernick, that what they're trying to do with Lamar Jackson reminds me a lot of what the Niners tried to do with Colin Kaepernick, which is make him more of a pocket passer, which was not his game. Obviously, mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson's a much better player than Colin Kaepernick, but it's like, don't try to hem people in. And mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw the video today, Walker. I don't think Lamar Jackson's playing today. It was him just jogging at practice, and the man, it looked worse than when he had to poop at the Browns game. Like his gait was all off.
I would say it's probably on the bad side of questionable right now. Yeah. But if he can play, the Ravens are 8-7 playing a Rams team. That's really good. So if he can play even a little, he's going to be out there.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Yeah. If he can do anything, anything, he's going to be an upgrade on what they have.
Yeah. I mean, Huntley's been serviceable, but he's basically Tyrod Taylor. So you're going to go with Lamar, even if he's at 70%.
Yeah, exactly. I got a question for you. Matthew Stafford going against this Ravens defense that's just getting absolutely shellacked by everybody who plays.
Yep.
Only seventh. Like, is it because of how poorly he played last week against Minnesota, which was also a pretty good matchup? Or is it you have that much faith in the guys ahead of him, Herbert, Hurts, Rodgers, Brady, Mahomes, and Allen?
Definitely a combination of both.
Yeah.
Obviously, Stafford, he has a propensity to just have weird stretches where he throws a ton of interceptions. You know, last week was a really good matchup against Minnesota, and he threw three picks and just really looked bad for about 2.5 quarters before he remembered how to play football over the last quarter and a half. Baltimore is desperate to win this football game, and I think they're going to throw everything they've got at Stafford on defense. Now, currently they don't have a whole lot, so I don't know how much it's going to matter. Justin Herbert has been better this season. I know it's a tough matchup against Denver, but I mean, if you've had Herbert, he's probably led you to this point. So yeah, you have to go with him. Hurts is going to run all over Washington. You know, Washington's defense was exposed again last week. They're back to being bad again. And then, the guys at the top, I mean, Allen's been incredible this season. Mahomes has looked great the last month. Brady's been awesome. Rodgers has been awesome and has a great matchup. So
yeah, Brady. The Jets have kind of fallen. They started off kind of strong against quarterbacks, but they've kind of fallen apart.
Yeah, they're still decent against receivers, but against quarterbacks, they're awful for some reason. It's more of a situation of, you're looking at the guys ahead of them just being really strong plays. I mean,
yeah.
It's
a great week for star quarterbacks, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, almost all the top guys have great matchups. Like, the only top guy that has a bad matchup is Herbert. And Denver doesn't scare me that much. I mean,
no, they can really stifle bad quarterbacks, but good quarterbacks can still do their thing against them.
Yeah, I mean, Mahomes was good. And Derek Carr made plays against them last week when he had to. And he's got one guy to throw to right now. So, yeah, I mean, if we're being honest, there are about, I would say there are 14 guys, my top 14 guys are who I would be fairly comfortable starting in a championship game.
Yeah, and then after, so that ends with Taysom Hill, and then you've got like Russell Wilson, who's got the finger question, and he's been making terrible decisions lately. Mm-hmm. Then Tua, who has a good matchup, but can disappear easily. Mm-hmm. And then you get into like Justin Fields, Derek Carr, Davis Mills, real question marks. But above that line, we've got a guy likely making his second career start, unless Jimmy Garoppolo continues to just insist that he's fine. Trey Lance. So Trey Lance versus Houston. You have him at 13. Is that sort of like a, like, what do you think with that 13 rank? Is he in a tier like 13, 14 with Taysom Hill, or is he more with Kirk Cousins? And I don't know how you could put him with Joe Burrow.
Yeah, he's not. It's 12 through 14 for me. That's how it worked out when I was doing the rankings was the tiers were 1 through 4. And then I had 5 through 7, 8 through 11, and 12 through 14.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
So yeah, Lance is, again, like if you've been getting here, if you've gotten here by streaming quarterbacks, or you've overcome a poor Russ season, or you were riding Derek Carr earlier in the year and you flew into the playoffs on that, and then he's kind of fallen off as his receivers have dropped like flies. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you're in a situation where you need to play Lance, I wouldn't be too worried about it. Houston's a pretty middle of the road matchup, but they can definitely be thrown on, and Lance has a great floor because he's an outstanding runner. This is gonna be weirdly in 2022, almost, this is the second mention of Colin Kaepernick on the podcast, but he's basically Colin Kaepernick. I mean, he's really good at running. He throws the ball very far and very hard, and he is questionably accurate. But he works pretty well for what Kyle Shanahan's going to want to do. He's going to get him outside the pocket. You know, whatever you think about Shanahan as a personnel coach or a people manager, he's good at scheming guys.
There's a reason why the Niners look really good on every drive, and then or every first drive. I mean. First drive, because he scripts those out. And
His script is incredible, and he's very good at putting guys in the type of spots where they can succeed. He's going to do a lot of rollouts. He's going to do a lot of. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they did some like Coastal Carolina gunbone crap with Lance. They're going to put like Juszczyk and Samuel back there and just run like speed options. I mean, it's how are you going to stop that?
You're not
too much athleticism. If Lance is making most of the right decisions, he's going to be really dangerous against a pretty low on talent Texans team. So, and even if he plays poorly, I mean, if he throws 2 picks and only throws for like 125 yards, he's still going to run for probably 50 and a touchdown or something. So,
yeah,
you know,
his floor is like 15 points. That's his absolute floor.
He's going to account for probably no fewer than 200 total yards and a touchdown, which is, you're sitting, he's going to get you double digit points. So he's better than most streamers where, cause you know, like Tua has a great matchup, but Tua doesn't run much. And if he only throws for one touchdown and 180 yards, you're going to end up looking at like 9 points.
Yeah. I mean, Tua can easily just fall up the map cause they're not having him run. You really can look at the running as a hedge against a bad game for him. So, who is your sneaky start for this game? I mean, you got Trey Lance at 13. We've been talking about him, and I meant this week, not this game.
Yeah. Well, it actually.
Sorry, while you were talking, I'm sure you saw I had a coughing fit, so my brain kind of.
It actually is in this game though. My sneaky start is Davis Mills.
Davis Mills, baby. That's
Mike Valverde is on the podcast. Just kidding. But
we need next year to have a soundboard.
Yeah.
And just put up on his mic saying Davis Mills, baby. Mike
just yelling the name of players he likes. Every time when we get to the running backs, we just have a drop that's him going, Ogunba Wale. But yeah, San Francisco is not a good secondary. Quite bad, in fact. And Davis Mills he's accurate down the field. I'm not quite ready to say he's good yet, but he certainly is good at throwing a pretty deep ball. And the Niners are good at giving up pretty deep balls. So I would expect him to throw at least one deep touchdown. He's going to have Brandon Cooks back this week, so that's going to help as well. He's not going to have to throw those to Chris Conley. I think that this is going to be a 250 and two type performance from Mills. It's just he could easily throw four picks as well. So he's
Not against the Niners secondary.
No, Jimmy Ward could get him three times. It wouldn't shock me.
Jimmy Ward could, but the rest of that secondary, good night.
Three for Jimmy Ward and then one for Fred Warner when he tries to fit one into Brevin Jordan over the middle.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Mills is he's a better play than a lot of the more popular streamers of the season. I would play him over Tannehill. I'd play him over Mac Jones. I would even consider, I don't know if I would, but I consider playing him over guys like Derek Carr and Justin Fields.
Derek Carr has been sneaky, like not that exciting or that good for fantasy lately.
Yeah, it's just a good matchup with Indy. Yeah. Indy's not going to let Jacobs do anything, and Vegas is going to be down in that game, so they're going to have to throw.
Yeah, I mean, I feel good. I feel good starting Davis Mills, you know, as like a high-end QB2. I think that
in two QB leagues, he's a super ideal guy in two QB leagues because he's not a guy anybody's really thinking about. But, yeah, I mean, if you're going into a two QB league championship playing Trey Lance and Davis Mills, I'd actually be pretty confident.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's I tweeted out that picture earlier this week where it was that Rams Chiefs game. And I was like, this is what I expect for Lance versus Mills, because like the Niners passing defense is pretty bad. Like they look good on paper, but that's like from a yardage standpoint. But that's just because they give up so much DPI and like downfield holding and stuff.
Yeah.
And the Texans are last week aside are dreadful. So I would expect this one to kind of be a shootout unless Davis Mills gets murdered by Nick Bosa in the first quarter. That's the only thing that would set me aside. But I mean, is Tunsil's not dead, right? He's still playing.
I have absolutely no idea.
Yeah.
I haven't been paying attention to Houston's offensive line.
Yeah, no, Laremy Tunsil has not played since week five. So
there you go.
So yeah, he could probably die. That's a possibility. Let's see, Davis Mills. Let's see how often he's getting sacked. He gets sacked.
Laremy Tunsil sitting at home hitting the gas mask.
That's the only way he can watch Rex Burkhead be such a good running back. No, he does. He was watching the game at home and he does that thing in cartoons or in movies where he like sees Rex Burkhead playing well and he looks at the pipe. He's like puts it down. He's like, too much, man. Too much. Yeah. Rex looks like Rex Burkhead is good.
He hit it too hard. Flex Burkhead, more like RB1 Burkhead.
That's right. That's what RB stands for. Rex Burkhead. Rex Burkhead 1, baby.
That's right.
But thank you for stalling. He's only been sacked four times in the three games since coming back. So he does a pretty good job of getting the ball out. So
who's RB2 then? Who's the second Rex Burkhead?
Oh God.
Max Borgie, the guy from Washington State.
Hold on. Who is it? I've been playing Madden. My wife got me Madden for Christmas, and my running back in my ultimate team is Ben Mason, who is
the fullback for Michigan.
Yeah. So I would say Ben Mason because he is doing very well for me, and I was shocked by it.
Sure, that's fine.
Yeah, so Ben Mason is RB2. So who is your tough sit at quarterback this week?
It's got to be Russell Wilson.
Just the name alone at 15 just stands out right there.
Right. I mean, coming into the season, if you'd have told me Russell Wilson is going to be starting at quarterback for Seattle with DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, and Gerald Everett healthy against the Lions at home, and you're not going to want to play him.
Yeah.
There's no situation where I would have thought that was possible.
But, yeah, you would think that this is his first game back from injury or something.
Right. Yeah. But he just hasn't looked very good. He's forcing passes that he doesn't usually force. His pocket awareness is non-existent right now. He's running himself into sacks constantly. The Lions defense isn't that bad. He just isn't very good right now. I mean, the finger's still not 100%. It's better, but it's not. He still can't throw the ball exactly how he wants to. It's just he's very inconsistent, like drive to drive even right now. And mm-hmm. I'm more confident in all of the passing quarterbacks I have ahead of him. You know, like Kirk Cousins has a good matchup against Green Bay, and they're going to have to throw the ball. Joe Burrow has been playing incredible and has a decent matchup against KC. You know, Dak's back. He played incredibly well last week.
Oh, my God. So good.
He looked amazing. I don't think he put a foot wrong all game. And Arizona hasn't been great lately. So it's just there's not really a situation where I would advocate playing Russ. I mean, if you have Russ, you can easily just go pick up Trey Lance.
That's like, true. I mean,
most likely you can just pick up Trey Lance and play him. Or, I mean, I have Wilson ranked ahead, but I wouldn't hate it if you played Mills over him. I mean, it's just it's not good for Russ right now. And I wouldn't you're probably not in the championship if you had Russ. But if you somehow figured out a way to do it, don't play him.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those like we always talk about, like, can you live with this player going off on your bench? And if I bench Russell Wilson, and
I can live with Russ going off for the first time in like 3 months.
Since he's had a complete functional hand. Yeah. If he goes for like 350 and 4 on my bench, so be it. I will not be starting Russell Wilson. All right. So Walker, who are my sleepers? I think you might have figured out two of them already.
Trey Lance and Davis Mills are two
of
them.
That's right.
Is either of them under 10% owned?
Davis Mills is 4% rostered.
Okay. Or rostered. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is the other one on my list?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's all matchup. Because he did not play well last week.
Roethlisberger?
No. Think much younger.
Much younger. Fields?
Close. Tua. The Titans have such a good run defense and such a bad pass defense
that they're going to have to throw
on them. So it's all matchup with Tua, 41% rostered.
Fair. Yeah. Yeah. Tua's not a bad streamer. If you're in a deep league, like if you're in a 14 or 16 team league and you're in the championship, I think playing Tua is absolutely fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of these, it's like, I feel great about them. Some of them I'm like,
sure. Like I was kind of thinking that one of your sleepers, if Mills was over 10%, I was going to guess Mike Glennon because he has an incredible matchup, but he's also Mike Glennon.
He is Mike Glennon. Some weeks I have to go and just be like, look, I'm sorry, it's Mike Glennon. But this week I feel pretty good about the sleeper guys.
Yeah, I would rather have all three of those by far over Michael Glennon, the original throat goat.
Oh, man, that guy. Quick question for you, Walker. So Teddy Bridgewater might not play this week. So drop him out. Who slides in at 25 for our two quarterback league guys? Is it Drew Lock?
Against the chart. Yeah, probably.
It's Mike Glennon, baby.
It might be Glennon. It would either be Glennon or Lock. I don't know which one, but I don't play either of them. I mean, I only have Teddy at 23. So, yeah, don't do it.
Yeah, I have a feeling if you're in your Superflex finals, you have better options than panicking because Teddy Bridgewater is out and you have to start.
Yeah, I mean, I had Teddy Bridgewater and Matt Ryan as my QB2 and QB3 in a Superflex, the Superflex Football Absurdity Experts League, and I finished fifth, so there you go.
I managed to get
in the playoffs, but then I lost immediately.
If you're in the finals, you probably don't have to worry about that. So let's move on to running back then. So who was your hardest to rank at running back? Can I take a guess?
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with Sony at 17.
I was gonna say Cordero Patterson.
Okay, Cordero Patterson's been legit bad lately.
Yeah, I have him at 21, like, which is it seems crazy low because of how admittedly good he's been this season. I mean, he's looked really good most of the year, but the thing is that I think he's just slowing down because he's like 31 years old.
And he has 100 more touches than he's ever had in a season before.
Yeah, this is a guy who isn't really the body type to handle like 250 touches a year. It's just not. It's not really what he is. They've been splitting the touch load pretty evenly between him and Mike Davis lately. Obviously, Patterson's still been scoring more because he's better at football. But against a really good Buffalo front, I don't think Atlanta's going to be able to run the ball whatsoever in this game. Yeah. Patterson should get, when they get down to the goal line, he should get some work, and he'll catch some passes. So he's still a guy you can play. But, I mean, he's one of the lowest, like, starting running backs on my list. Like, the only out-and-out starters I'm playing Patterson over are guys who either don't catch passes at all, like Damian Harris or Rex Burkhead, or guys who are just like replacements, like Dario Ogunbowale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, talking about the Russell Wilson thing, if Cordarrelle Patterson, I'm going down with the Cordarrelle Patterson ship if I have him. Like, I'm not going to bench him unless I have great other options, because I can. Because the thing is, with all of his flexibility, it's like, I doubt I have two running backs and three wide receivers and flex options better than him. Because that,
I mean, if you're in a 10 team, right? If you're in a 10 team league, you might, but like, I'm in a 14 team league and in the championship. If I had Patterson, I'd definitely be playing him.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a question right now. I mean, unless you had a bunch of fab left and you were able to get Ronald Jones and Darrell Williams, then maybe, but otherwise I think you're playing Cordarrelle.
Yeah. So, I told Mike yesterday, and I'll tell you, in the Barf League that I'm in, the Bay Area Regional Fantasy, I think is what it stands for.
Yeah.
I'm in the finals with a guy who has $9 in fab, and I had 70 left. And so I just put a bunch of $10 bids down, knowing that I was getting all those players. And then I'm just going to, like, one of them was Isaiah McKenzie, who I will now cut, which is fine because he was replacing Brandon Cooks. So I'm okay with that. But yeah, it was just like, I will have these guys and you will not. And I do not care, because that's fab, baby.
There you go.
I will drop Isaiah McKenzie right now. Haha, I did it. And now I have Brandon Cooks.
Get him out of here.
Get him out of here. Instead of Braxton Berrios. I don't know. I got into the finals starting Braxton Berrios last week. So
hell yeah.
That tells you how weird fantasy's been. So who's your sneaky start for this week? And I'm going to go with... Devin Singletary, because 50, he's been good, but people like won't admit it. And 15 is very aggressive for Devin Singletary, but I like it.
He's not a sneaky start for me, because I think it's clear to most people who are paying attention. If you're in the championship, it's, or you're playing for third place and it's money league or something like that. Devin Singletary he's been good lately. He's getting almost every touch out of that backfield. Yeah. Atlanta sucks. You know, it's obvious. So, but yes, if you haven't been paying as much attention and you just, like, I don't know, fired up your fantasy app for the first time in a month and were like, oh my God, I'm in the title game. Devin Singletary is good. He's good now for fantasy. He's still not very good at football, but, and he's playing a really bad team. So put him in your lineup. I was going to ask you, how sneaky do you want? Do you want, like, mildly sneaky, moderately sneaky, or completely off the map?
Ooh, it's completely off the map still in your top 50?
Yeah.
Is it Keyshawn Vaughn?
It's Keyshawn Vaughn.
Keyshawn Vaughn, baby! Number 37. He's at the Jets. He's alive, folks.
It is famous 105 rookie pick, Keyshawn Vaughn.
Dude, so he's my deep sleeper this week, and I wrote, that's right, baby, the mysterious first round dynasty pick from 2020 is back.
He's making an appearance. He had a cool long touchdown run last week, and they are playing the Jets, who, as we have railed on all season, horrible.
Terrible.
Just heinous against running backs. They basically don't even defend the run.
Yeah.
Vaughn could easily break off another touchdown run. The Jets are probably going to be losing by 40 in this game at some point. So
we're going to see Gabbert, which means we'll see Vaughn.
Right. So Vaughn will get 12 carries in garbage time. I think there's like a 50-50 chance he scores a touchdown. Now, the fourth string running back for the Buccaneers, not really the guy you want to be trusting in a championship. But honestly, if you're in a deep league, 14, 16 teams, flexing Keyshawn Vaughn this week is not that bad of an option.
No, it's not. And because in an ideal world, yes, he's the fourth stringer, but the second and or the first and third stringer are both out. So yeah, that's where we live in. And Le'Veon Bell is reunited with Antonio Brown. So
great.
Keyshawn Vaughn, same page there. I like that one. He's rostered in what percent of leagues? I accidentally closed it. I want to say two.
Two. Jesus.
Two.
Yeah. The my other two options, my like mildly stinky was Ogunba Walleye, who is going to be the starting running back for Jacksonville against a New England team that is amazing against the pass and pretty bad against the run. And then my other guy, my like moderately sneaky, was Devontae Booker.
Because, yeah, you've been in on Devontae Booker for a couple of weeks, so you've got him at 31 this week. If you have him, which was going to be my question, Devontae Booker greater than sign Saquon Barkley?
Yeah, right now, for 1 week only.
But you have him ranked above Saquon Barkley.
Yes, I did this on purpose because Saquon's been just ass, really bad. My guy's hurt. My guy doesn't play the right way. His style of playing does not fit what their offensive line is capable of blocking. Like, yes, he wants to play like Le'Veon Bell, but more explosive. Mm-hmm. And their offensive line is like only capable of blocking for a guy who just is a one cut runner. And this that's not what Saquon is.
Problem for so long. The same problem with Mixon. Yeah.
They just don't fit. It's just not right. I mean, Saquon does not fit with the Giants and Booker does. That it's simply what it is right now is that Booker's the type of guy who's going to make one cut and get 4.5 yards. And he's quite proficient at that. They're going to get pretty similar workloads. There have been rumors that Saquon might not even play. But as of right now, like even with them both in, Booker's been consistently outproducing in the last 3 weeks, and I don't see any reason why that wouldn't continue, and the Bears aren't very good. So, again, there are a lot worse options than Devontae Booker in your flex.
Yeah, and honestly, if you're the Giants, just throw Barkley on IR, call a season a wash. Don't let him tear an ACL in the last game that doesn't mean anything. You know, it's like...
Well, if they were smart, they'd do that, but they're coached by Joe Judge.
Well, I mean, there is that. The man who made like three people retire in the preseason. Like, people forget that. There are players who said, I would rather not be in the National Football League than play for Joe Judge.
Yeah, they were all offensive linemen, famously like the toughest guys on the field. Like, yeah. Zach Fulton, who barely ever missed a game in his decade-long career, came to the Giants in the preseason for 3 days and then was immediately like, nah, I'm not doing this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's wild how it's just I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to call it a career rather than be with Joe Judge. And Josh, if you listen to this, my brother-in-law, I win. We had an argument when Joe Judge got hired. I was like, it's the stupidest possible hire right now. And he's like, oh, he'll be fine. So, ha!
Nope.
I win.
It's terrible.
He's awful. So who was your toughest rank this week?
I already said that was Cordero.
Oh, it's court. Oh, sorry. You're a tough sit. Sorry.
Tough sit.
That's what I meant. Sorry.
I mean, is Saquon a tough sit at this point?
I think he is because the name.
Right.
It's hard to put that name onto your bench, even though logically you should.
Yeah, that's true. I'm going to go with Saquon here. I could get really bold and say James Conner because of how good he's been this season. But Dallas's defense looks incredible right now, and Connor is clearly not healthy. So even if he plays, he's going to have a small role that he's not going to be able to do very well. Arizona's desperate, and he's even Connor 60% is probably a lot better than Jonathan Ward. So they'll still run him out there if they can and give him like the 5-carry treatment. But, you know, if he plays, he could easily score. So Connor's not a guy I would trust this week. I would play Edmonds. But yeah, Barkley should not be in your lineup. I don't care how deep the league is. Don't play Saquon Barkley in your championship game.
Yeah, I mean, it's a weird thing to say, but I completely agree with it. Like, he has been terrible. He's been so bad. I put him on the cut list this week.
Rough.
Yeah, saying that you could cut him and then your opponent would pick him up and start him. And then that would help you win because your opponent would be starting him in your finals. Yeah. So, all right. So You already got two of my sleepers, Dare and Keyshawn Vaughn. The third one should be pretty easy to figure out because it's an injury replacement.
Daryl Williams?
No. Daryl Williams is rostered in too many leagues.
Fair. Injury replacement. Boston Scott?
That's correct.
Cool. Yeah.
So Jordan Howard with the stinger, that cost him a bunch of time before. So I'm worried that he's going to get it again. And so I think that Philly's kind of the same way. And he is on the wrong side of questionable to play this weekend. And so I think Boston Scott's going to get a whole bunch of touches against a Washington team that was good that was bad, then was good, and is bad again.
Yeah. If I have him and Howard tied essentially at 34 mm-hmm. and 35 right now. But yeah, if Howard is ruled out at any point, Scott's an RB2 play for sure.
Oh yeah. Yeah. If it's just Scott, then yeah, it'll be great.
And Kenny Gainwell at that point is a sneaky flex too.
Yeah. Cause I think they'll use Scott more for carries and then Gainwell more for targets.
Right. They just don't do a whole lot of that.
Exactly. All right. I think that's it for running backs, unless there's anything you wanted to add about them.
No, I'm good.
All right, let's get on to wide receivers. No surprise at the top. Cooper Kupp, baby. Just the guy. The greatest. He's going to set the record, Walker.
It's incredible. It's a little bit weird to me because the record is held by a famous Detroit Lion.
Yeah.
So.
I think you can have it both ways.
Yeah, because if regardless, the top two guys are going to have been thrown to by Matthew Stafford, which is cool. Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. You can have it both ways.
Right. He's my favorite player of all time. So that's pretty cool that my favorite player is like the best ever at throwing to a really good receiver, which is a weird specific thing to be good at, but he's really good at it.
I mean, it speaks a lot to Matthew Stafford in so much as, especially with Cooper Kupp, how quickly they made this connection work. Like, it really speaks to how instinctual and smart Matthew Stafford is on a football field.
That's the thing that with Stafford is he's the most underrated mind at the quarterback position.
Yeah.
Certainly right now in the league and maybe ever. I mean, the dude, just because I have so much experience watching him and seeing like the extra content and all that, the dude remembers everything. You know, even silly stuff. Like, he just knows everything. His tape study is second to none. His pre-snap adjustments are second to none. He really just the only reason why he gets himself into trouble is because he trusts his arm too much. I mean, he just is like, I can make that throw, and then it's a throw that is impossible to make. So, yeah, but you know, pre-snap, he's as good as anybody. I mean, Dak might be the only guy right now who's better.
It's funny too because his Stafford's like. If you just talk to a random football person, you can tell who doesn't really pay attention because they think he's just this like big armed gunslinger and that's it.
Yeah.
When really the reason that Calvin Johnson was able to have that year was one, Calvin Johnson, but two, Stafford not only he not only knows like I can throw Calvin Johnson this ball, but I know where to throw Calvin Johnson this ball where only he will get it and I can get it there. Yeah, and like you said, his biggest downfall is trusting his arm too much.
Yeah, Stafford is incredible at throwing those tight window timing type passes. I mean, you saw it last week against Arizona where he made – or not against Arizona. Who did they play last week? Minnesota.
Minnesota, yeah.
But I think it was 2 weeks ago against Arizona where he threw that absolutely absurd pass where he was off his back foot and Kupp was about 4 yards from being open. And Stafford just like threw a perfect sidearm touch pass to a spot and Kupp ran like right underneath it and walked into the end zone. And it was just like even he seemed surprised. Just like the ball just ended up in his hands. It was, you know, to throw from that arm angle off your back foot 30 yards and pinpoint it directly where you want it to. It's just. There are very few guys who can do stuff like that. And the fact that he's got a receiver that he can trust to get there, it's a special connection. And I don't think that it's going to stop this year. I'd say at this point, the only guy, because Devontae, we don't know if he's going to be back in Green Bay and we don't know if Rodgers will be either. At this point, the only guy I would put ahead of him is Justin Jefferson, because Jefferson's like 22 years old and already incredible.
Yeah. And even then, that might be a bit of a coin flip. You know, it might be one of those, like, in a PPR league, I'd want Cooper Kupp more than Justin Jefferson, just because he's getting 10, 11, 12, 13 targets every single game.
Yeah, I mean, Kupp's probably going to – he's going to finish this season with, like, 190 targets. And
yeah,
I would not expect him to have less than 175 next year.
Yeah, 10 a game feels about right for him. So, that's enough of patting you on the back for calling the wide receiver one.
I had Cooper Kupp wide receiver one. Don't look it up.
Don't. This is a no fact check podcast. We've been forgetting to remind people of that. Do not fact check us. So my question for you on this one, before we get into your hardest and sneaky and all that stuff, Amon-Ra St. Brown, our boy, number 20, is this his recent volume, because he's been getting either 11 or 12 targets in each of the last four games? Is this the matchup against a not so great Seahawks team, or both?
Well, it's those and the fact that he's good at football.
Yes.
I would like Dynasty Twitter to watch Amon-Ra St. Brown play football.
Please
put him on the television, because he's making really impressive plays. I mean, his touchdown last week, he went up and got a ball in between two defenders, came down with it, ran around another guy, and then forced his way in the end zone through another guy. Like, he's extremely good. I don't know why he fell to the fourth round, but I'm extremely glad that he did, because he's on my team now. And wow, does that rule to have a young receiver who's good as hell, because he rocks. He's super fun. And yeah, Swift's probably going to be back this week, so he probably won't get those carries he's been getting, and he might get one or two less targets, but he's still going to be at worst in the high single digits, probably going to get around 9 targets. He's going to catch most of those. And Seattle's a bad defense. I mean, I would expect his floor is probably about 12 points, and we've seen his ceiling is mid 20s. So he's a great mid to low end wide receiver two play.
Yeah, I was even gonna say more than you had as the floor. I was gonna say his floor is probably 5 for 80. Something like that.
He works in the shoulder area a little bit high, more than that. So I mean, his floor is probably like six for 60 is what I was thinking, and that's 12. But I mean, he's like, his ceiling, even with Swift back, is like 10 for 120 in a score. So his ceiling is normal Cooper Kupp game, and his floor is bad Cooper Kupp game.
I mean, that hasn't even existed this year.
Yeah, Cooper Kupp's had one bad game, and it was 7 for 55 or something like that.
Awful. Just awful. all right. Let's talk about, because Adam Thielen went on IR today.
Yeah.
KJ Osborne, number 24. A guy that we kind of universally, at the beginning of the year, were like, don't worry about KJ Osborne. Because they didn't draft him to be this. They drafted him to do special team stuff.
Right, yeah. They drafted Emir Smith-Marset to be this guy. And Osborne just didn't let it happen.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah, he got kicked off the Miami team for, I forget why. Played his last college season at Buffalo. He kind of came into the league as just a nobody who was a high recruit but didn't really do anything in college. He's a 7th round pick, if I remember correctly. And he's just found his way onto the field and played well. He's a very solid wide receiver 3. When he's been pushed into duty this season, he's been good. And Green Bay is it's not a tough matchup for wide receiver 2s, especially. You're going to see a lot of, like, Rasul Douglas has made a lot of big plays this year, but he's still liable to get burnt. And then behind that, you've got Eric Stokes, who's a rookie, and Kevin King, who's awful. So, I mean, I think Osborne is an amazing flex or wide receiver 3. And if you've got to play him as your wide receiver 2, I wouldn't be all that worried even.
And he's only rostered in 36% of leagues.
Now, so, would that be relevant for me guessing something later?
Perhaps. Perhaps it might. And another one, I just realized I have to go in and change one of these players' names. That might be relevant for you as well. There is a player in the NFL who changed his name this, all right. And then, those are real, the questions I had for you on this one. So who is your hardest, hardest rank this week at wide receiver?
I would say AJ Brown, just because he's been back for a week.
Yeah. But what a week it was.
Yeah. He was absolutely absurd last week. Looked incredible. Obviously, you're not going to expect him to get a 54% target share again. But I could easily see 40%. I mean, Julio's either not going to play or barely going to play. The rest of the receivers are bad. I mean, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is the only other guy they're even attempting to throw to. Yeah. And that's basically just in a, like, minimized Kendrick Bourne role. So, yeah, I mean, Brown's going to get almost assuredly at least 10 targets. He's an insanely talented football player who can take it to the house literally anytime he touches the ball. And he looks fully healthy for the first time since like week two. So yeah, I mean, I have him at 7, just behind like the big six that have been awesome. And yeah, I there's no situation where you shouldn't play AJ Brown. You have to play AJ Brown this week. It's just, it's difficult to put him that high when he's played like 7 games this season, and it seems like most of them have been bad. But
yeah,
he was really good the couple weeks he came back earlier in the season, and now after he's come off IR, he looks really good again. So this is mostly a PSA. He's too talented of a player to leave out of your lineup, no matter what.
Yeah, and there are some people who were like itchy about starting him last week, and they might not be in their finals because they decided to go with like Devontae Parker instead or something like
right,
that.
Right, like I played AJ Brown instead of subbing him out for like Laquon Treadwell, and I don't think I would have won had I not played AJ.
Yeah. So he is good. He is still good, still certified good. He got hurt early in the year.
AJ Brown's early. A certified hood classic.
Hurt in the early in the year, struggled. And now he's good at the end of the year. The same thing that happened last year, except he had an IR stint this year. Like
So what you're saying is you're going to have AJ Brown wide receiver one next year.
What I'm saying is I'm going to learn my lesson.
And you're going to have AJ Brown wide receiver four next year.
Probably 6.
Yeah, he's going to be up there for me too. He's so good, dude.
He's incredible. He's good.
He's probably going to be my wide receiver 6. I can't quit AJ Brown. He's incredible. No. I thought he was bad in college. How stupid. Why was I so dumb?
I need to fight. I got to go back. Like I have to put that clip in at some point this summer. Like, I know I've talked about it, but I got so mad when the Titans drafted him. I got so mad.
You thought he was going to get Mariota'd.
Yeah, I did. I was so mad. I loved AJ Brown. And so, yeah, it's continuing to be great. Who is your sneaky start for this week? And I'm going to guess Van Jefferson.
No, it's the boy again, Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
MVS, baby!
Yeah. He's last week he went on the COVID list, so you might forget about him. But when he and Lazard are both playing, Valdes-Scantling is playing more and getting more targets. He's also really dangerous down the field with his long speed. Minnesota is bad on the back end. They're playing guys like Cam Dantzler who's really slow. Harrison Smith's pretty slow at this point. He can make plays that are in front of him. He's still a good football player, but he just doesn't have that speed to play center field anymore. This just seems like a game where Valdes-Scantling could have he could easily score. And I think he's a pretty good flex play. And like I said, most people are going to be looking at Lazard because he had a good game last week on the score sheet, but he only had 2 for 45, I think, 2 for 45 and a touchdown. So, yeah, I like Valdes-Scantling as the clear number two there. Lazard is more of a punt play than anything. I have him in my rankings just because the matchup is so good. But, I prefer MVS, and I think he's a pretty solid flex play.
Yeah, my only concern about MVS, because I did a two-step in my sleeper, so you've named MVS and Alan Lazard are in my sleeper article, is we saw with like Tyreek Hill last week coming off the COVID list. I don't know if MVS is a close contact or if he had COVID. Because we saw with like Tyreek Hill, he had trouble coming back off the list. We saw Amari Cooper, he had that 140-yard play and did nothing the rest of the game when he came off the list. And
right. With Hill, I think that had as much to do with him coming up. Yeah, I think it had just as much to do with the fact that Kelce wasn't there to take attention away.
Well, I mean, he only had two targets.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't – the coverage was being shadowed his way. Like, he was getting Joe Hayden and a safety, and so they – and plus, he wasn't quite 100%, so
yeah,
it was a lot of factors. He
played 40% of snaps. That's why I was thinking right. –
Yeah. It was obviously a factor, but I think he still would have made more plays had Kelce been around to take the attention away, because they both play better when they're both in. Mm-hmm. So.
Oh yeah, I mean they're a great combo because they take away like
you can't double any of them.
Yeah, you can't double both.
And then you have the best quarterback, like the most probably the most talented quarterback who has ever lived throwing them the ball.
I mean, it's just that easy. Could you imagine if they'd taken Jonathan Taylor instead of CEH? Can you imagine what that offense would be like?
If they'd taken Jonathan Taylor instead of CEH, and then, hold on, vamp for me while I go back to the 2019.
Oh, for Mecole Hardman?
Yeah, because I'm trying to find who was drafted like right after Hardman that they could have taken who wasn't bad at football.
If you don't remember, CEH was taken at the end of the first round, and Andy Reid compared him to Brian Westbrook in so much as he said he's better than Brian Westbrook. And that is not true. Turns out that was a lie.
So they could have, instead of taking Mecole Hardman, they could have taken DK Metcalf.
Oh, my God.
Go into your mind's eye and consider Patrick Mahomes, Jonathan Taylor, Tyreek Hill, DK Metcalf, and Travis Kelce on the same offense.
Good God, man.
That's
good God. And it's not like it's too expensive. Two of those guys would still be on rookie contracts.
I know. That would be impossible. They would have gone 20-0 this season.
That's a fantasy team. That's literally
That's a really good fantasy team. You can't make that fantasy team. There's too many good players.
That's too expensive for DFS to put together.
Yeah, and you can't do it in a draft because you wouldn't get them. You wouldn't get all those guys.
Jesus Christ.
They also could have taken Deontay Johnson or Terry McLaurin.
Jesus.
Who went like 10 and 15 picks later.
Yeah, so I think they panicked with the Tyreek Hill thing, and they were just like, who's the closest to Tyreek Hill's profile, because he's a speedy guy. Like, that's the only reason they took him.
They took him as Tyreek Hill insurance than anything, which they could do. But yeah, I mean, when the only issue you see with the Chiefs is like, it's pretty clear at this point that their second best receiver is Byron Pringle. When your second best receiver is named after potato chip, I don't know what your potato crisp. I'm not sure. I'm not sure potato what you're doing.
He's not. It's a formed slurry. It is not a chip. It is.
There's not enough potato to call it a potato chip. But on the sleeper thing, I also wanted to mention Laquon Treadwell. I think people are going to see New England and get scared away. But who's New England actually going to be focusing on to take away in this game?
That's what I tweeted out earlier. I was
they have no one to focus on. I guess Marvin Jones is the best receiver on the team, but there's no one that's any good here. So they're probably just going to play straight up. Mm-hmm. And Treadwell has had at least 4 catches and at least 53 yards receiving all four last 4 weeks. This dude has had at minimum 4 for 53. For a month, he's a good high floor flex play. If he happens to get in the end zone, like if Trevor Lawrence learns how to throw the ball into the end zone, it's not going to happen. But like if he were to happen to get in the end zone, he would be, he'd get you 16 or 17 points, and that could win you your league. There's a reason why I have him right next to Jacoby Myers, because it's that same kind of thing. He's got an extremely high floor and an extremely low ceiling.
He's just going to get you some points, and you can rely on amount of points.
Floor 9.5, ceiling 11.5.
Yeah, exactly. I just tweeted out the Chiefs could have Jonathan Taylor and DK Metcalf instead of CEH and Mecole Hardman, LOL. Because they could, Walker. That is the most insane thing.
God.
Good God, guys. I'm happy they don't, because it means that other teams can win the Super Bowl. So who... All right, so we went through your sneaky start, tough sits. Yeah, you brought up the Jags team. Who do you think are my sleepers for this week? So you got...
I got three of them, and there's one more.
Yeah, well, no, I gave you all four, actually, I think.
Did?
Yeah, because I said the guy who changed his name.
Oh, yeah, Deonte Hardy.
Yeah, Deonte Hardy. So don't do what I did and almost make a joke being like, what is Sleeper doing? Because it's very scattershot. Deonte Hardy is formerly Deonte Harris. He changed his name to honor his stepfather while he was on suspension. He is on the COVID list, but he's probably it sounds like he's going to come off for this weekend. Last time we saw him, four catches, 96 yards and a touchdown. And he's automatically, by a wide margin, the second best player on this offense already.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, they've been operating with Marquez Callaway's their number one receiver, who is just awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Harris is the only functional NFL receiver on this roster right now. So,
and it's no more
Hardy. See, it'll take some getting used to, but yes, good reason to change it. And he seems to be trying to get his stuff together. So
yeah,
we're hoping for the best for Deonte Hardy.
I didn't drunk drive, but I had youthful indiscretions that led me into run-ins with the police. And it's definitely one of those things where you're like, okay, definitely need to be an adult about things now. So, yeah, Deonte Hardy is the new D. Strange Gordon, which I'm still not used to, the baseball player.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, you got them all. KJ Osborne, Alan Lazard, and Marquez Valdes-Scantling. I prefer MVS except for the COVID thing. That depends on if he was a close contact or if he had COVID. And then Deonte Hardy is my 10% guy. All right, let's get into tight ends, Walker. So,
I love tight ends on this podcast.
Love a tight end.
That's right.
Just let that sit for a second. All right. So
sit. I'm sitting on my tight end, folks.
All right, folks. So you've got Darren Waller at 5 at Indy. He seems to be a coin flip to play. Yeah. Foster Moreau, much to Frank's chagrin, has played well the last few games since falling on his face.
The first game. Roasted all over the place.
With noted bust, Travis Kelce at 1. But where would Foster Moreau slot in for you? Because it's a good matchup against Indy, and Foster Moreau's been getting the targets.
Yeah, he'd be 13.
So yeah, just behind Firemouth.
Yep. Yeah, just behind Pat Firemouth. Firemouth is more likely to score a touchdown and has proven it over a bigger sample size this season. But, Noah Fant's just not getting many targets right now, and that Denver passing offense is pretty much useless for fantasy football. So, yeah, I would have him right between Firemouth and Fant, and I think he'd be a perfectly fine if Waller is out, he is probably the best replacement for Waller.
Yeah, and another little hint, rostered in 1 out of every 5 leagues. So
he is one of your sleepers, but not the biggest one.
Not the biggest one. Yeah, because Darren Waller did go on COVID IR today. So I'm still not sure. So it's 5 days now, and I'm still not sure if that includes the day they go on IR and game day, which would really make it 3 days. I'm still not sure how that works. So it sounds like he can test out
but I think it's going to be tight. So yeah. I think on Saturday he can test out of the protocol, like right before, like a night before the game.
Yeah. And luckily, since we have no Thursday or Saturday, you don't have to make any decisions till Sunday. So we will know about Darren Waller. But I would pick up Foster Moreau because it's your finals. This is the game that you're playing for. And so if you have like a Jamal Williams, like I cut Jamal Williams everywhere because I'm not starting him anywhere. There's no reason for me to have him around. So I will pick up. This is where you have to be extremely proactive, not only to like back up Darren Waller, but also to keep your opponent from, like, say your opponent has like Tyler Higbee and Foster Moreau sitting out there. That'll stop them from getting Foster Moreau and playing them against you.
Right.
Yeah. So that's my little soapbox thing there. Not to steal from the lateral. So who was your hardest rank this week?
Hardest rank. I mean, it's tough to know where to put Hunter Henry right now.
That's what I was thinking. Massive game 2 weeks ago. No, nothing last week. Good matchup.
I mean, Buffalo is really good against tight ends. Their safeties are maybe the best combo in the league, and Matt Milano is one of the best coverage linebackers in the league. So tight ends just don't do anything against Buffalo because they can't. But Henry has been very touchdown dependent this season, and it's just not really a game against Jacksonville where they're going to need to do anything particularly out of the ordinary. But this is also a game where Mac Jones could easily throw three touchdowns. And if he does, then Henry's going to catch one of them. That's just how it is. Like, he's definitely going to catch one of them. So he's low volume, but I still think he's a pretty good streamer, because if he gets three targets, he's probably going to end up with 2 for 25 and a touchdown, which 10.5 points is going to be like tight end 8 on the week. It's just how it is. So yeah, if you could have easily gotten to your final streaming tight ends, because if you don't have one of the top guys, that's pretty much as good as having like Zach Ertz all year. So yeah, Henry is a perfectly fine streamer. I would play him over Tyler Higbee. I'd play him over Tyler Conklin. I'd play him over anybody named Tyler. If you have Tyler, go get Hunter instead.
You mentioned the guy I was going to talk to you about next, rolling that forward. Zach Ertz, sneaky 24 targets in the last two games. And I think that, I mean, that coincides with losing DeAndre Hopkins. He seems to be the new number one target. So I think great floor. And, he has had, 7 for 64. So that's 13.4 fantasy. Yeah, without a touchdown. And if you're doing that without touchdowns, that's perfect. That's what you want to look for.
Yeah, Zach Ertz is absolutely a play this week. There's not a whole lot of situation where you're not going to be playing him. I mean, if you've got Kelce, Andrews, or Kittle, which you drafted early, then you're playing those guys. But like, other than that, you probably don't have a guy that's going to be better than Ertz. I think I actually might end up adjusting these ranks and putting him at 5 when it's all said and done. Gronkowski against the Jets, it's tough to bench because he's had huge blow up games, but yeah, I mean, Ertz is he's a smash play for sure. He's getting a ton of targets and he's still good at football.
Yeah. And that's something that we weren't so sure about, because Carson Wentz was so bad behind that offensive line last year that it dragged everything down, and people were talking like Ertz wasn't good anymore. And we talked about it this offseason. It's like, why has everybody forgotten about Zach Ertz? Like, he's still good. It was just a horrible situation last year in Philly. So, so that's your sneaky start. And is your tough sit like, okay, he's 9 for you. Kyle Pitts, is he a tough sit or is he still a start at Buffalo?
He's still a start because they put him out wide a lot. And so they'll be able to manufacture some matchups with him against like Levi Wallace or Teron Johnson. So I think I don't think he's going to have a game like he had last week where he had 100 receiving yards, but he will likely be able to get his like 4 for 50 or 4 for 60. So I still think in most cases you're playing Kyle Pitts. Your tough sit is Noah Fant, and it's,
I don't know if it's that tough,
but with the name, he was going as tight end 7 coming into the year. He was a former first round pick. I mean, I think 50% of fantasy people preferred him over Hockenson even like a year and a half ago.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people thought he was a better prospect than Hockenson, and it's tough to quit on a guy who has insanely high draft capital, who has been pretty solid his whole career, who is really athletic. But the role just isn't there right now. I mean, they are splitting up their passing offense like completely equally between 6 different guys. And so it's not helpful for fantasy. Like Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, Tim Patrick, Noah Fant, Albert Okwugbunam, and Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon are splitting like 25 targets.
Yeah, they're not throwing the ball that much and they're spreading it around too much.
Right. Nobody's going to get more than 5 targets in this offense like ever. And I just don't think there's, against a pretty good Chargers defense, I don't think there's enough volume here. I mean, the Chargers have been bad against tight ends this year, and I still wouldn't recommend starting Fant because, you know, they've seen Denver. I mean, especially if Locke plays, you can't play Fant. But
oh God, no.
It's
so bad.
You know, even if Bridgewater plays, you know, what are you looking for here? Like, the best case scenario is you're going to get, like, 4 for 50. I mean, his ceiling is like a normal Kyle Pitts game. So you can't play Fant, in my opinion. Noah can't play. Folks, can't play him. But
no, nope.
He's good at football, but like bad for fantasy right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's wild, especially when you consider that you know, he has two of the eight games in the last 21 years of 100 yards and a touchdown from rookie tight end. Like, he kind of kicked the door down his rookie year, but it's just the quarterback's just so bad.
Yep.
They're just so bad. Yeah, he has two of 39 games of all time with 100 and a touchdown. And Mike Ditka has like 10 of them. Mike Ditka is all over this list. All right, so Noah Fant's your tough sit. Let me ask you this. Everett at 19.
Yep.
A lot of people are in on Everett this week. He's behind like Tyler Conklin, who's just been awful lately. So I'm curious.
Tyler Conklin had 4 for 42 last week.
And what's his face? Gerald Everett had more than that.
Yeah.
And also, you're wrong. He had 4 for 44. Gotcha.
Oh, well.
This is gotcha bad. Journalism, Walker.
Got him. He got my ass for sure.
It's just, it seems weird to have him behind a guy that he's been better than lately. So I'm just curious about that ranking.
I think that Tyler Conklin's a pretty decent football player, and I think Gerald Everett sucks.
All right. Well, that answers that question. Thanks for listening.
he's been bad. I mean, he's their best tight end, but like he's had every opportunity this season to break out and be one of those like top 12 guys. And he just keeps figuring out ways how to not do it.
You mean like kicking a ball for a pick and fumbling at the 1 yard line?
Uh-huh. I do mean those things.
Is that bad?
It's not good, folks. And Conklin has a really solid matchup. You know, and again, you know, maybe it's biased because it's Detroit. I mean, I watch them a lot. I know they didn't do very well against the tight end last week. But again, Pitts is used more as a receiver, and they gave up one catch to Hayden Hurst. It just happened to be in the end zone. So I just don't see this being a big Everett game. I feel like if Russ goes off, it's going to be Tyler Lockett down the field or DK Metcalf down the field, just like they were, you know, just like the Falcons did. I mean, it's going to be Metcalf doing the same stuff that Pitts did to him. I don't think you can trust Gerald Everett in your fantasy championship. Like, if you're streaming a tight end, stream Hunt, you know, Foster Moreau, or stream Hunter Henry or CJ Uzoma in a game that, since he's going to have to throw 40 times.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that makes sense. Okay. So who are my sleepers then?
Well, Moreau.
Yep.
Just because I think he's cool and good, I'm going to guess John Bates.
I wanted to put John Bates, but I'm worried about Bates and RSJ together. They're just cannibalizing the targets, because that's what happened last time.
Yeah, but Bates scored last week and had more targets.
Yeah, I guess so.
I really think he's taken over the tight end one spot there. He's good. He's good out there. It's fun to see a guy that you liked in the draft just like be immediately good, especially at a position that's hard to do that at. But yeah, I really like John Bates. I think he's good. Is Uzoma one of them?
No.
He's been a million times this year, so.
I know. It's another old stamp. So Foster Moreau is one of them.
Yeah.
I just argued about you with another one.
Everett,
46%. And then I went with another old reliable. Just nice 4 for 45 every single week.
An old reliable that's under 10% owned.
Yeah, I put him under 10% every single week, and he's just good enough to stay there and not make me mad.
O'Shaughnessy?
That's right.
Okay, cool.
Four catches, three straight games, averaging about 45 yards per game over the last three since he's come back.
Yeah, he's fine. And
he's fine, yeah. If you're in a deep tight end hole, James O'Shaughnessy will get you like 8 to 10 fantasy points.
Yeah, like there's definitely going to be people who have streamed tight end to get to the finals in a 16-team league, and then their opponent, thinking that they're real smart, went and goes and like picks up all of the tight ends.
Yeah, they get like Gerald Everett, CJ Uzoma, Brevin Jordan, John Bates, RSJ.
Right, but they leave O'Shaughnessy because he's boring and not that good, but he just does the same thing every week. So if you throw him in there and he gets you 8 points, that's better than, I don't know, hoping Evan Engram gets in the end zone or hoping that the Lions tight end catches three passes. I don't know.
Yeah, it's really one of that sort of like, you're down bad, you need points. To put a different a spin on it, it is 2 o'clock and the bar is closing. And you just need James O'Shaughnessy.
That's right. James O'Shaughnessy is going to take you home tonight.
That's right. All right. Well, on that note, it's closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
You can't.
That's right. This is the last Ranks episode. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Walker for having this great idea to kind of split it up. Have this going on Wednesdays, on Wednesday nights. It's been helpful, and I've received positive feedback about it, so I feel good about it. So
I've also received positive feedback from it, which is it's really cool that you guys enjoy this. And I mean, I have a ton of fun with it. I know that Jeff's been liking it too. So this is definitely something I think will continue next year. And I'll be back doing the Ranks. So we'll be doing it, folks. We'll be doing it big, and you'll be hearing it more and more.
Speaking of big, I should say Trenta. Or is it a Trenta or a Venti that he gets?
Venti, yes. Venti. Yes, next week, folks. Next week, if you haven't been paying attention to Twitter, which, fair, I wouldn't recommend it. I will be doing the Dan Campbell Coffee Challenge, which is his coffee order, famously from Starbucks, is 2 Venti Pike Place roasts, black, with 2 shots of espresso in each of them, which is a total of 1,000 milligrams of caffeine, which is...
My man is eating a gram of caffeine.
Yeah, which is like 9... It's not quite 10. I think it's like 9 1/4 Red Bulls or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's basically a 3/4 of a case of Red Bull. And he's drinking that in the morning, just like that's a normal thing. So I will be driving to Gaylord, which is 1.5 hours, to get this goddamn coffee because I forgot that the Alpina one hasn't been built yet. Really doxing myself here, but nobody knows what the hell any of these places are. So.
Triangulate Walker.
Doesn't matter. No one cares because nobody knows anything about this part of the state of Michigan, and that makes sense. I will be doing that and only cheating a little bit by putting some sweetener and probably like oat milk in it because I don't want to drink coffee that's black because I don't think I would be able to do it and it would ruin the exercise.
Yeah. The exercise is not about the blackness of the coffee. It's about the
potency of the coffee. I was going to say potentness, like a dope. It's going to be interesting. And we're going to do a special podcast of just, I don't know what we're going to do. We're probably just going to talk about football.
Probably.
Yeah. It'll be I would assume it'll be a bonus because I don't think it'll be something that I can that I can stop swearing when I'm doing. But it's gonna be. We're gonna talk about some football. We're gonna talk about some probably just life stuff. It'll be a window into Walker.
While I'm on
a full gram of caffeine.
I'm gonna put it in the bonus feed, but I'm gonna unlock it so it'll be everybody can listen, but we don't have to deal with iTunes whole. Perfect. Thing, even though there is an F-bomb 2 episodes ago because I edited your woo video wrong and I cut out the part where you cuss and then I put that in the episode.
I didn't go back and listen to that. Now I have to.
It's after the Lions won who did they beat a couple weeks ago?
Was it the one where they beat the Vikings on the last second touchdown?
was that one.
Okay.
And so it was with the with Mike, and yeah, and I realized that slipped through, and I was like, that's probably fine. Oh man. So
is that like the intro to the podcast?
No, it's in the middle. I was like, Q Walker's woo video here, and then I stuck it in.
Oh god. Hell yeah.
It's like a half hour of the episode or so.
That's great. I'm gonna go back and listen to that right now while I play NCAA Football 13.
That's right, baby. So all right, we'll get out of here. We will be back tomorrow with our last full episode of the podcast. We're not going anywhere this off season. We'll still get you weekly stuff. Very excited for what we got going, and we'll get guests, and we're going to do all kinds of fun stuff this summer. So for Walker, this is Jeff. And please don't try what Walker's about to do at home. He is a trained coffee professional.
I'm not, but I'll do it for you guys. I'm fully ready to embarrass myself for content and $25.
There you go. And since you're driving so far, we will talk about extra. All right, bye.
Bye.